Now to a story about an innovation that forever changed popular music. And it starts with this song. It's called Peg O' My Heart. It's by a group called the Harmonics. And 65 years ago, this summer, it was the song of the summer. And why?
With the advent of recording technology, there had been various techniques of how to create a sense of physical space.
That's writer William Weir. He wrote about this song and what makes it so special for the Atlantic. And it has to do with this right here. That sound, that kind of echo, like the music is being played in a different room, that was brand new. And how did the Harmonics do it?
The engineer, Bill Putnam, at the studio, he did it by putting a loudspeaker and a microphone in the studio's bathroom, and it created this great, deep, rich echo or a reverb.
Reverb, it's a kind of sound reflection that's more of a ringing than the repetition of an echo. And before this song was recorded, no one ever bothered to create reverb this way.
He used it in a way that was very artistic, and it goes beyond just what the physical space, but it lent it sort of an eerie, almost hypnotic effect to it.
And it was such a fresh sound in 1947 that a few years later, by the 1950s, everyone was trying to figure out new ways to do it.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell.
Sam Phillips didn't invent it, but he's the one who made it famous, specifically with Elvis Presley.
How did he do it?
He had an Ampex machine with two playback heads. One played the original sound, and a second one played it just milliseconds after that, and it created this very echoey sound.
And then you had some other musicians, like not too long after that, trying to record in an aquarium?
Yeah, actually, it was Duane Eddy, the king of twang, and he found this 2,000-gallon water tank in a scrapyard. And what he and his engineer did was they put a microphone in one end of the tank and a loudspeaker in the other. It would create this great swirling, rich reverb sound.
So at what point did American music kind of hit max reverb?
I'm going to say the 60s is when you had guys like Dick Dale and the Surf Guitarists.
You mean that wasn't done for Pulp Fiction?
No, that was Miser Lou. That was 1963. Had all these surf guitar bands coming out, and everyone wanted to get a Fender reverb amp and get that great spring reverb sound.
So this is actually, you write that this is the oldest and most universal sound effect in music. You think of like Gregorian chants.
Exactly. And that's a good example of, for the most part, for most of history, we were at the mercy of echo, in the sense that composers and musicians were writing for cathedrals that had reverberation times of 6, 8, 10 seconds. That's a sense of where reverb actually kind of created a style of music.
You write a lot about Fleet Foxes. This is like they are like the darling of indie rock. So are big users of reverb.
Yeah. Big
and
users.
Why are they so into it? What does it do for their music?
I've read that they said that they wanted to achieve the transcendence of religious music, albeit without the religion of the music. And when you hear it, it does have a very spiritual sound to it. In a way, it suggests a presence beyond ourselves. When you shout hello into a stairwell and you hear your voice ringing for a few seconds afterward, it's hard not to think of something beyond.
And you can do that all in post-production, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we can actually take this conversation now and add some reverb to parts of it.
Yeah, it sounds better, doesn't it?
It sounds better. It sounds richer. I think we should do all of our interviews in reverb.
That's a good idea.
That's William Weir. He lives in New Haven, Connecticut. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.